Well, welcome this morning. And you know, we had 3 weeks of Christmas, then we had New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Now we're back into Galatians for the first time since December 4th. Does it feel like much longer than that? It feels like a long time since we've been back in Galatians. But we've looked at Galatians early on in the gospel and knowing the gospel and being able to defend the gospel and proclaim the gospel. And remember, we said to live the life of walking in the Spirit, we must apply the gospel. We've seen about the law and salvation, and we've now looked at love, joy, and peace. And I know you all excited about the fruit today. Patience. We have seen that from love, all the fruits flow, and the fruit cluster is all interrelated. It all works together, we've seen. And the Spirit wants to produce this Spirit's produce, the Spirit's produce in us. And He wants to do it simultaneously. He wants to see all this fruit growing together. This morning, we're going to look at the fruit, as I said, of patience. But before beginning, let's notice something about this fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the very thing we truly want in our lives and want in our homes, do we not? I mean, do we want love, and do we want godly love in our life and in our home? Do we want joy? Do we want peace? We actually really do want patience. In fact, we want to receive patience from others. We want kindness, and we desire goodness and faithfulness in our lives, especially in our homes and our relationships. I mean, do we not want to see gentleness? Do we not want to experience gentleness? How about self-control? Sometimes I realize I could use a little more self-control. Maybe not a little at times, maybe a lot. How many truly want the flesh and feelings to control one's life? Living with sin and sorrow. Everyone raised their hand and says, I love the results of sin and sorrow. No. We don't want what that brings. You see, the Holy Spirit, who loves us, is not trying to make something of us that we don't already desperately want for ourselves, that the world does not hunger for. Here is the exciting thing. We as Christians, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, are the only ones capable of realizing this fruit in its genuine form. Praise God, you who know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is for you, and only you can truly possess it the way God would have you to have it. I love that. What does that say about its potential? What does that say about the privilege of having the Holy Spirit working in our lives? You see, the fruit of the Spirit is a storehouse of heavenly blessings that any child of God can tap into. If only he will trust the Lord and obey the Lord. If only he will yield to the Holy Spirit that he has given to us to develop this fruit within us. I love that. I want that. Do you want that? Sometimes, though, it's a little painful, the pruning process. Sometimes the sanctification process is a little painful. But does God know what's best for me? Does he know for you? You see, God is ready to give this fruit to you all in abundance if you're willing as well. So with that potential in mind, let's continue our study of the fruit of the Spirit today by looking at this fruit of patience. You know, I thought, hey, this is no problem for me to preach this message to you. But wait a minute. My wife is here. Where are you, Shannon? Where are my children? Yes, okay. Where's Caroline? Okay, good. Everyone needs fruit and patience. I see this so clearly in my life. You know, there's a funny cartoon that Pastor Jacob sent me about a banana who went to a job interview on Friday, and he posted a selfie of himself earlier on Tuesday. It goes like this. "You don't look like your pick," said Pineapple Boss. "That was Tuesday," said the banana. Oh, how fast can fruit become rotten? With the Holy Spirit fruit, that never needs to be the case. So we're going to have a happy banana narrate today's PowerPoint, all right? Do you sometimes look like that on Tuesday, and come Friday, you look like the other banana? Lord, I just pray today that we yield to you. Lord, let your love ring in our hearts. Let it sound in our hearts and into our mind that, Lord, this is what's best for us, and we want to look like you. We want to be used by you. We want you to have all glory. So I pray today, Lord, that as your word goes out, we will be sensitive to hear it and to treasure it. As we saw last week, Lord, we don't only want to obey your word, we want to keep it. We want to treasure it. May we see the treasure of patience today. In your name, Lord, we pray all these things. Amen. So let's start this morning. Somewhere in the message, I'm going to have a little surprise for you, something you've never heard before, at least from me. I'm excited about that. But let's look at the first area, the explanation of the fruit of patience. There's our happy banana, our forever happy banana. Exactly what is the fruit of patience? It is the opposite of the work of the flesh that Paul talked about in Galatians 5:20 as outbursts of anger or fits of rage. Okay? Outburst of anger translates one Greek word. That Greek word is thumos, okay? That Greek word is coupled with another Greek word for long, far, distance, macro, to make up the word we have called patience or patient. This patience is the prolonged restraint of anger. Okay? The fruit of patience would describe the person who is conquering the fleshly tendency to quickly erupt at the slightest provocation. Okay? People given to outbursts of anger, so to speak, or fits of rage, are often described as people with a what? Short what? Fuse. That's just a nice way of saying you got a real sin problem. We excuse that away. Ah, he's got a short fuse. It doesn't take much to set that person off. In contrast, the man exhibiting the fruit of patience, you might say, has that long fuse that burns very slowly. He does not quickly get irritated, quickly get exasperated, immediately become frustrated, or is always angry with people. And by the way, this word patience is the word used almost exclusively for patience with people. Patience with people, this fruit. Remember what the Galatians were doing earlier. They were devouring one another. You might say that here, with this word, it's not something you save and hold on to. You want to use it before you lose it. Did you like that one? You'll want to use it before you lose it. There's another kind of patience that refers to patience or endurance under difficult circumstances. We've seen that as well. But this word here is about patience with difficult people. How many of you know difficult people? Somebody said something. I didn't hear it. Difficult people. But this word is about people. Of course, one should not twist scriptures to say that at a certain point, a person can forget being patient and go into a fleshly, sinful outburst of anger or fits of rage. We must realize something, and we don't like to hear it, but sin is always sin. Sin is not our friend. We saw that earlier. It's not our friend. Remember last week, sin by being friends of the world or to be friends with Jesus? Who would you rather have? Jesus as our friend. Remember what the Spirit is here to do. He is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's role is to make us holy, to be conformed to the image of our Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to realize just the major sins, but He wants us to be sensitive in our life to every sin that misses the mark, that is sin against Him, every sin that put our Lord on the cross. So through His power and through our repentance, He can replace sin with His fruit. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? When you look at this fruit of the Spirit, you can see how interconnected they are. We want love, as I said. We want joy and peace. And when the Spirit is allowed to have His way with us, He would also have us to be kind and to be good and to be gentle towards one another. Right on? But if that fruit must first start with being patient with one another. You cannot be good, you cannot be kind, you cannot be gentle if you do not possess the fruit of patience. It's hard to be kind and gentle, especially when it is needed most, if patience is not a staple fruit in your spiritual orchard. How many of us know that just by experience, right? In the master description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, the first description of love is patience before kindness. Isn't that interesting? It's the very same thing in the fruits of the Spirit. Patience comes before kindness. This placement of patience in the fruit of the Spirit is not by accident, everyone. It's there for a purpose. The fruit of kindness, goodness, and gentleness, and self-control are all destroyed or diminished by a lack of patience with one another in the first place. Kaboom. You want to blow up patience? You want to blow up the rest of the fruits? Just blow up patience. Look at that poor little apple. He's struggling now with his self-control because somebody got mad. Self-control banged him right over the head. The point is that we are living still this side of Eden and still fall so far short of heaven, do we not? We're still sinful. And nobody is perfect. We all at some time or another do some pretty dumb things. We speak before we think. We can say thoughtless things. We don't always say the right things, and we don't always say them in the right ways. We can and even do at times deliberately say hurtful things. Or we give full sway to frustration and anger. You see, the world is full of people easily provoked to anger, right? From road rage to murder. We live in a society that fosters the notion that you take nothing from nobody, right? Well, guess what? That's exactly how the Greeks were in Paul's day. This was the common teaching in the day of Paul, that you take nothing from no one, and they hated and despised that word, patience. In Paul's day, the Greeks looked at this word for patience as unworthy of noble men, unworthy of a real man. Aristotle taught that the great Greek virtue was refusal to tolerate insult or injury and to strike back at the slightest offense. That was the culture. Imagine how radical what Paul is teaching and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Paul, so he's dealing with this concept then. But the believer, we are transformed and no longer look like the world. But Paul says that it is not to be the way of the Christian who desires to what? Colossians 1, 10 through 11. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to please him. What was Paul's prayer for Ephesus? And the same prayer for us is that the believer might be strengthened with power through his spirit. Where? In the inner man. In the inner man. For what? So that you can work miracles? Yes, the miracle of patience, the miracle of kindness, the miracle of love. Something we could not do when we were dead in our sins. It is freedom from the law and freedom from slavery that allows us through the Holy Spirit to do what we could never do before through Christ. In Galatians 5:16, remember what Paul said? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. You see, we saw that this is allowing his control, all the while depending on his power. We pray for his power that we might obey his will. It's us together working with God. Then he will not only reveal in us the sin that he wants to remove, but he will give you the power needed for you to remove that sin and to deal with sin. If you are living according to the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8:13. I don't always do so well at that, do you? But do we want to pursue that? Is that what we want in our life? Is that our heart's desire? Yeah. You see, the fruit of patience is love displaying itself in being long-tempered with other people, not getting upset, angry, wrathful, resentful, hateful, revengeful, or unforgiving. And yes, yes, even when wronged. We must love our enemy. How many homes and lives would praise God if just the miracle of patience was exercised in the relationship? Yeah. Well, there's the explanation of the fruit of patience. We want to be patient with mankind. And now, the demonstration of the fruit of patience. You know, first and foremost, this patience is and has been demonstrated by God Himself and His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow. Do we ever get a total feeling or knowledge of that patience? Can you just sit down in God's Word and all in one swoop, take it all in? You know, I tell you, I like to listen to music. You know, sometimes I listen at night on a Sunday, I mean Saturday night and others, but I like different genres of music, and I'm about to bring you a genre right now. But look at the truth. Look at the truth. When you think of the demonstration of the fruit of patience.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. It's because of his righteousness that we pray you receive this. Lord, you're holy. We shouldn't even be in your presence. Due to our sin, we don't deserve the least of your blessings. But through the cross and believing that Jesus is risen, even the worst of sinners can be redeemed and forgiven. I'm living proof when I say this, and these are truthful statements. You're beautiful when displaying your unusual patience. You take the blasphemous, pridefully stuck in our blindness. Instead of smashing us, decided to love us with kindness. Even with unbelievers facing its error, you slow up, like when you waited patiently in the era of Noah. We know that with you a day is just like a thousand years. So does that mean for every sin you cry a thousand tears? Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience. Praise you, Lord. You. We know that everything we owe you. And when we reflect on the time before we came to know you, how we were unbelievers, committing tons of treason. We had 100 reasons why we wouldn't come to Jesus, but they were all excuses, because our thoughts were useless. That's what the dark produces. Father, you already knew this. We were foolish and clueless, just as ruthless as Judas. Who knew that you would choose to pursue us and move to woo us? So after waiting with patience as we would run from you, you activated our faith so that we would come to you. Your law exposed our sins so that we would know the danger and take refuge in the only Savior who's slow to anger. And as our teary eyes beheld the cross of our King, we understood the true meaning of long-suffering. Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience. So patient, Lord. Christ, the thing that is amazing to us is that you still continue to display your patience to us through all our stumbles and falls and our idolatry, through all our grumbling and all of our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness with brothers and sisters. We're hostile, our unforgiveness, all because we're just missing the gospel. We should be slow to anger, but your word was slow to hear it. Oh Father, help us please, we truly need your Holy Spirit. He is the only person who can shape this fruit within us. We praise the risen Savior who is able to present us, Jesus, without an ounce of blame, with zero doubt or shame. Lord Jesus, down you came from heaven to announce your reign in the hearts of your people, and now we have the truth and gladly choose to praise you for all of your attributes. Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
I'm sovereign God, you are.
Isn't that amazing? He loves us patiently. In those lyrics, we see all the doctrine, all the truth that we're speaking about here today. I know he's loved me patiently. All the wrath that he could have laid upon me, all that he withheld from me. The Lord of patience. This word patience in the New Testament is used consistently for the Hebrew expression of what you just saw, of God being slow to anger. As seen so often in the Old Testament. For example, remember when the Lord was passing in front of Moses after Moses came down and saw all the people worshiping the idol. How angry that made God. And then he did what? He dropped and he broke the commandments. And he traipsed all the way back up on that mountain. And it's interesting how God described himself after all that sin against him. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities, transgressions, and sin. Wow, that's how God passed by Moses after all that failure. David, in his distress, said what he knew to be true of God and what God had said about himself. So listen to what God just said to Moses passing by. And David says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And you and I are the recipients. But all in this psalm of great praise of God, David goes on to say in verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I love that. Are you smiling about that? You see, people who have only a superficial knowledge of the Word of God seem to think that God, they look at him as continuously erupting in wrath with no patience, regularly slaying people left and right. But that is not the case. The point made again and again of God is that he is slow to anger. He is patient or long-suffering with mankind. In fact, God is so long-suffering that at times, Old Testament saints wondered if he would ever act in justice upon sinners. Habakkuk wondered right at the beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, 2, how long are you going to hold off punishing evil? Jonah, remember, he fled. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, and to the belly he went in his disobedience, but he didn't want to go and preach repentance as God commanded him to. Jonah said, I'm not going there. I'm not going to go preach that, because he knew something. And here it is again. Jonah said, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. There we have it again. Slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Robert Ingersoll, a well-known atheist of the last century, would often stop in the middle of his lectures against God, and he would say this, I will give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I said about him. Whew. Then he would use the fact that he was not struck dead as proof that God did not exist. Theodore Parker said of Ingersoll and his claims, and did the gentleman think he could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? Aren't you thankful God does not have a short fuse with you? Aren't you thankful we have not exhausted the patience of God? Think of how he put up with all of our arrogance, how he's put up with our pride and our numerous sins before we came to know him as our Lord and Savior, and even those after we've been bathed in the blood of the Lamb. And think how he did not strike us dead on the spot for the just payment of sin, like we saw in the song, that he did not smash us. Peter tells us the Lord is coming back. And he tells us, but don't let his absence of impending judgment fool you. See, they started to think he wasn't coming back, for so much time had taken place. And Peter told them, a day is like 1,000 years with the Lord. And so they started thinking, well, he's not coming. It's a big problem in the church today, the lack of realizing the imminent and urgent return of Christ. But the Lord promises to return and to judge the lost and the ungodly. But Peter is telling, rather than doubting the Lord's return because we think so much time has come by and that God's not going to keep his promise or that this isn't real, there is another reason he has not returned. The Lord is not slow about his promise to return, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Oh, sovereign God of patience. The Father knows the very day, and he knows the very hour his Son is going to return. But the very reason he is not here yet is because of his loving patience. Think about that for a moment. Look how our Lord Jesus demonstrated patience when he walked the earth. He was so often insulted. He was abused. He wasn't ascribed the glory due his name. He was called mad. He was called a drunk, a glutton. He was called a friend of sinners. He was accused of even being possessed of the devil. He was mocked. He was deserted. He was denied, but not one time do you see Jesus lashing out in frustration, retaliation, anger, or justice. You never one time see him blowing up in a fit of rage. But what do you see? You see him with heartbreak, lovingly and patiently dealing with sinful people he came to save. I love that. One word of caution here. This patience, everyone, is not indulgence or compliance or acceptance of wrongs done. It is about not returning evil for evil. It's about not returning rage. It's about being patient and long-suffering with others as God has been with us. So just as this loving patience has been demonstrated to us in God himself and in Jesus Christ, we must realize we who claim to be his followers must demonstrate the same loving patience and long-suffering with others. It's one great way people see Christ in us. Even those who willfully harm you and do you terribly wrong. You know, Gerald Kennedy said, as one grows older, one comes to the conclusion that more lives are destroyed by impatience than any other sin. That's interesting to ponder. But that does not need to be the case for us, does it? The Holy Spirit, my friends, longs to develop patience in you if you'll just let him, if you'll just allow him. If we walk filled with the Spirit. With that in mind, let's close today by looking at the cultivation of the fruit of patience. You know, it's one thing, I think we all here can agree that patience is needed, or to say, I want that in my life, right? I want that in my home. And it's quite another thing to see the fruit being cultivated and developed in one's life. You must be put in situations of the need of patience for God to cultivate it in you. Hence, how many of you pray for patience like crazy? Actually, I've already begun to help you cultivate it. I'm helping. I'm doing my best to help you learn patience. Henry Ward Beecher said, there's no such thing as preaching patience unto people unless the sermon is so long that they have to practice it while they hear. So we're going to start over. Let's start over. Let's go back to the beginning. Oh, there is a little truth in comedy. Let me give you quickly, as we close today, three practical steps to start implementing in your life. First, when it comes to patience, confession. Impatience, outbursts of anger, fits of rage, getting mad, ticked off, being resentful, vengeful, hateful, all these things we say, it's a sin that is needed to be confessed. We must really start allowing the Holy Spirit to desensitize us and make us sensitive to all sin. We may think, if I blow up at you, Sally, and blah, 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 I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness with that, right? But what about, what? Come on, hurry. I didn't really go crazy on her, but I sinned against her. Any impatience with one another, I see that in my life. I must confess this to God. I want to confess, which means to say the same thing that God says. In other words, say the same thing about it that God says about it, and say, God, I confess it. Yes, it's impatience. And Lord, I want you to rule in my life. Please forgive me. You see, call it what God calls it. See it as He sees it and quit making excuses or seeking to justify behavior. Let's start killing, and even in my life, excuses to justify sin. It doesn't matter what the other person has done or said. Be responsible for you before God. How many of you have said this? If they had not done this or that, I would not have lost my patience and gotten so angry. How many of you said to your spouse, well, yeah, but because you did this, I did that. It's a common tool we use. Let's not do that. Let's just confess what we have done wrong before God and take ownership of ourselves, and maybe that will transform the situation. So first, allow God to show in you any form of impatience and confess that. Second, meditation. You must get into the Word, and you must think of the Word. You must meditate on the Word of God and focus seriously on the patience, focus seriously on the long-suffering of God and of your Savior Jesus Christ, that He has shown you, that He has shown others. Stay at it until your heart is saturated with His long-suffering love and mercy towards you. Contemplate all that you have done that put Christ on the cross, all that you have done since your salvation, all the sin that you've piled up against Him that He has forgiven you for. Contemplate that. And as the song said, contemplate through God's Word how He loves you patiently. And allow the Spirit to move in you. And when that love of God through His Word fills your heart, the fruit of patience will naturally grow in you, and you won't have to work it up, and you'll never have to lose it. Paul said of this fruit, against these things, there is no law. You can do it over and over. You won't need a law to tell you to be long-suffering. You won't need a law to tell you to be lovingly patient with others. You see, the very love of God that exists in you and through His Word in developing your relationship and meditating on His Word will compel you to be patient with others. Because your whole goal will be, how can I be Jesus in this situation? And lastly, appropriation. This patience is not a human virtue, my friends. It is a divine fruit produced through the power of the Holy Spirit. We already saw Paul's prayer that believers might be what? In Colossians 1, be strengthened with all power for attaining of all patience. For the attaining of all patience. Whoa. You see, this divine, this wonderful, loving, long-suffering patience is there for the having. And it's appropriated through prayer. Paul's prayer for yourself. You do not have it in yourself, in your sin nature, but you can have it as the Holy Spirit strengthens you with all power to attain not a little, not just some, all patience. God is a giving God. Amen. And when you pray, don't pray a prayer. Don't play a prayer. Don't pray, well, I've actually done this. I don't want to get too detailed. I'll be broad, and God will know what I mean. Lord, help me be a better person. No, Lord, help me have your patience. Pray specifically with God. Don't worry, he's not here to harm you. He's here to build you and love you. And when you pray, give it to him and then allow the Spirit to lead in your life. You see, the fruit of patience is like all fruit. It's a process, little by little, but victory can be won through an honest, humble, heartfelt desire to walk worthy of the Lord and to say, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. And he will give you that power. So, Christian, let me ask you, where would you say you are at on the patience scale? Yeah. If impatience is your problem, the Spirit stands ready to grow you and to give you and build you patience. You see, patience is the outworking, remember, of love. It's so amazing when we see love expressed when the world would say it's not deserved. When somebody's mad at you or done you wrong or you lose your patience with them, we say, well, they don't deserve my love. But no, it's the greatest expression of love not deserved, to give it, and it transforms. That's what Jesus did with us. So when you are ready to confess it, when you're ready to forsake it and draw on the Spirit's power with the Lord's fruit of patience, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And others, believe me, will be blessed by you. And God will be glorified. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't realize this, but this is your favorite word. For God is being long-suffering and patient with you, that you might come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, please come today. Please come today. You know, this last Wednesday, as we were praying in Grace Intercessors, and we were praying for the world, and we were praying for the kingdom, and we were praying for souls, and we were praying for the church, and we were praying for ministry, Michael came out, and in his prayer, he just over and over asked God to take us here at EC Grace and put us on higher ground in how we live, higher ground in how we serve, higher ground in our intentions of our heart, higher ground in love for other people, higher ground in the fruits of the Spirit. Right, brother? I want to walk on higher ground. Can you, with patience, get a little higher on higher ground as God leads you to higher ground? Amen. Amen. as the praise team comes up. Lord, I just want to thank you for your patience with us. I want to thank you for your long suffering towards us. Oh, Lord, to show us how I can imagine being Moses that day, to go down and see all the people sinning against you and worshiping the false idol, only to drop the Ten Commandments you gave him, and then to trudge all the way back up there knowing he had to face you again. And you said, the Lord, slow to anger, abounding in love. Oh, Lord, if we got to march back up or come back before you, I'm so thankful that we can now come into your very presence because of what you did on the cross, that we can come right into your throne room and we can get down and say, Lord, forgive me, please. Let me confess. Let me say what you say. Let me believe what you believe. Let me do as you tell me. Lord, forgive me for my impatience. Let me be you to others. For Lord, I am the recipient of such great, amazing patience and love. Oh Lord, may we walk with you, and at a minimum today, Lord, may we leave here so thankful for your love towards us, how you do not hold all of our iniquity against us, and how you have forgiven it and cast it as far as the east is from the west to the depths of the sea behind your back and remember it no more. All because of what you've done, Jesus. So Jesus, I please pray that as we leave here today, oh Lord, lift us up that we may walk on higher ground for you. In your precious name, we pray, amen. Let's stand and sing together.